Okay, you're very welcome back to the programme. And in studio with me is Anna Scully, Community Development Policy and Communications Worker with the Donegal Travellers Project. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks
Thank
for
you
having
so
us.
Much for joining us. And Michelle Mungan, Community Health Worker with the Donegal Travellers Project as well. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Good stuff. You drew the short straws.
We did.
Okay, it's great to have you in. Right. Okay, so the Donegal Travellers Project is doing a call out for photographs and historical items from people across Donegal to be exhibited as part of their 2025 Traveller Pride Week celebrations in May. And I've seen similar projects like this and involving the traveller community specifically. And they really are wonderful things once they're all completed and put together. Anna, I'll start with you. So what kind of stuff are we talking about? I mean, you don't want to be too prescriptive because you want people to use their imaginations and what have you.
No, so I suppose we want people, anyone I suppose who has photographs at home, really span in the last 100 years. So anyone who maybe is into photography or who knows someone that is, or even anyone who has dusty photo albums in the attic or boxes of things, historical items, you know, from over the years that they maybe just have never gone through, but they think that might be of interest to us. We really want to get our hands on them and I suppose have a look and see if there's anything that we could use for our exhibition.
And Michelle, you know, time's of the essence too. You want people to get involved in this ASAP because May's not far away now, and that's the month that hosts the Traveller Pride Week.
That's correct, yeah. So we're hoping that people can, you know, kind of get things sorted kind of quick and let us know what they have, or if they have anything, you know, precious photos that they may not want us to keep, we're more than happy to come and collect, photocopy and give back the originals so that there's no damage done to any history, you know.
Yeah, because I can understand where you're coming from, because these could be incredibly valued items. So they have to trust us with them.
And that's why we're hoping that. But it's not just photographs. If they have, you know, any items such as Kramer cans, tinsmith, wagon wheels, stuff like that from generations back that they're happy for us to display on the day, we're more than happy to, and maybe hopefully we can spark a conversation between ourselves, the older generation and maybe the younger generation, if anyone comes in. I'm hoping to speak about our culture and our history and bring pride to us ourselves.
Yeah, because there's two things going on here. Not for generations, more than two, but there's nostalgia, right? Mm. But then there's also the opportunity for younger people to learn about their grandfather, their grandmother, the country, you know what I mean?
Because
sometimes
yeah.
it can get lost very quick if we Absolutely. Don't archive this stuff.
It does get lost, and that's the thing, and that's why we're hoping to target, you know, the younger generation as well as the older generation with this historic project across the generations, for them to come in and talk about how they're, you know, there's lots of changes, I think, through the years. And I think if you can get a younger person to ask the questions, but if you can get an older person to reach out to the younger person and say, you know, what does traveller mean to you? Where's your pride? What's your culture? What, you know, can you explain to us what it means to you to stand out as who you are now in this generation, this century?
Anna, is there any changes sort of, I mean, a new generation comes around all the time now. Is there anything particularly within the traveller community that would point to, you know, maybe taking less interest in your history or being less proud of your culture, I wonder?
I suppose that's the main aim of Traveller Pride celebrations every year, and I suppose the work that we do as well in Donegal Travellers Project, you know, across the projects that we have.
I just think sometimes it was important to recognise the travelling community as part of the wider community.
Absolutely,
and I just wonder if there's a piece of work now in sort of maybe saying to younger people, you know, is there any reduction in pride? You know, you can be proud in who you are. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I suppose, you know, that's one of the key aspects of this project and why we want to do it is, I suppose, often, you know, when historical projects are being run and we're talking about Irish history and Irish culture, you know, the traveller history, traveller culture doesn't get the same time and space within that, you know, and within those projects. So I suppose that's what we want. We want to highlight the rich history and culture and heritage of Irish travellers, you know, not just nationally, but, you know, and specifically in Donegal as well. And, you know, that we don't lose that history. You know, photographs are such a great way of, I suppose, you know, this documenting social history. And I suppose, you know, as Michelle said, you know, instilling that pride and that sense of history and heritage. And that's the aim of this project, is to bring about those conversations and bring about that pride and those, you know, that pride and identity.
Yeah, because, you know, I think obviously society moves on and there's cultural changes, right? But it seems to be, in my lifetime, happen far more rapidly with the travelling community, Michelle, if that makes sense, in that, you know, there were ways that travellers lived their lives in the past, more nomadic. That was a normal for me when I was young. Yeah. And yet now it seems almost... very, very rare. So that
I think rare.
I think things have the cultural shifts is far more quicker in the travelling community than the broader community.
I think a lot of that comes down to, I suppose, policy and legislation.
Well, of course, and it's not by choice all the time.
Yeah, and I suppose that you know.
I remember as well. Members of the travelling community being chased from pillar to post.
Yeah.
Next thing, boulders would appear. Farmers driving past. With slurry tanks. You know, I remember seeing all of that kind of stuff. So, you know, I'm conscious of how quickly things...
And this is why we're hoping that with this project that we're going to do now, and it's called the Empowering the Future, the Next Generation for Irish Travellers. This is why we're hoping with this project that we're doing historically, that it will bring back that, you know, the sense of things from years ago and how it was and how our grandparents had things and take that pride in ourselves. Yes, things have changed and down to policy and down to regulations and things like that. And, you know,
some of it for the better.
For some, for better, for worse.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think we need to keep the pride and we need to highlight it as much as we possibly can. And however that may be in Traveller Pride Week, if doing this project, I think is the best way forward.
Where's it going to be displayed, Michelle?
Donegal Travellers Project in on Port Road.
Brilliant stuff. And it'll be open to everyone to go in and walk
through. Open to everyone to come in, yeah, absolutely. Perfect. If we can get some of the wider community to come in as well, that would be great, yeah.
Well, traveller history is everyone's history.
Exactly,
I mean, it is, isn't it? So it should have an interest for... Yeah. For everyone. Any gems in yet so far, Anna? This is a difficult one because everything is incredibly important to the person that submitted it, right? So I'm not being in any way dismissive of some of the great stuff you've probably already got in, but anything spring to mind or...?
Nothing yet. So we're in the early days of gathering items so far.
Well, you've left it... A month or so, right? Which is great because we need pressure in this country, don't we? We don't do anything with a 6-month lead. We need the pressure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But I suppose with social media as well, you know, there are a lot of Facebook pages and Instagram pages as well, you know, of historical photos. And, you know, you often see posts of, you know, people have old photos, they put them up and they maybe want to know, like, does anyone know the people in these photographs?
Yeah, of course.
So stuff like that, you know, maybe tag Donegal Travellers Project underneath any photographs like that or pages like that. We've our work cut out for us over the next couple of weeks.
Sure. But
I think,
I think sometimes it's better to do it in a shorter period of time and be really busy with it. And Michelle, just to reiterate, because it is important, these are obviously going to be valuable items to people that they're going to be treated with utmost respect.
Absolutely.
If it's a case of scanning photos or if someone's good enough to donate something, not donate, to lend something to put on show. Because it's a way of being pride in your
absolutely.
Heritage.
Absolutely. Whatever is given to us will be respected, will be well taken care of. Anyone who isn't sure about leaving something with us, they can bring on the day of the exhibition and they can talk about it on the day of the exhibition if, you know, if they're feeling concerned that, you know, might be hurt, damaged or lost or... Absolutely, they can bring it that morning and we're happy to still showcase it and they can still talk about it if they want, yeah.
Yeah, or poetry or anything.
Anything, poetry,
you could have
had
a grandfather that was a songwriter or whatever it might be because, you know, often it's the words that capture things more succinctly than the visuals of the
100%.
Item. So it's everything, isn't it? It's spoken, written, maybe tape recordings. I don't know. Who's to say? You could end up with an audio booth. I don't know.
Yeah, we're leaving it wide
might
open.
Might as well jam that in there as well.
Why not?
This
absolutely.
Part of the celebrations that we are running, we're creating three different podcasts. So the themes are the horse, the family and the road. And again, it's that, you know, we talk about, you know, Irish culture and storytelling. You know, within the traveller community, storytelling is such a huge aspect of culture. And it's that passing those stories. And as you
say,
there's
a point
audio
with things like that when, you know, a story isn't told.
Yeah.
And then it can go.
It just fades.
It just goes, isn't it? And it can be the amount of stuff we've lost through to history. So it's so important. And as well as that, what I like about these initiatives as well, because you're talking about this week, but it also actually captures certain history that could be lost as well.
Yeah.
You know,
who
is to say in 15 years' time or 20 years' time that this week isn't the one that's referenced as the the link to something in the past. So it's I think it's important and it's significant. And I'm sure we'll be talking more about 2025 Traveller Pride Week, which takes place in May. So as you know, we're at the start of April, and there's a lot of work to get this exhibition together. So it's anything, I think really rather than being prescriptive, it's anything really that someone thinks that might be interesting.
Really
interested
not wide open,
exactly. Yeah. So I have two email addresses here. There's no point me reading them out because people aren't sitting there with pens. Or go on to your socials or the website or give us a buzz. Or
are on Facebook, and we've got a Facebook post up there, and we'll be posting about it very regularly over the next couple of weeks. So you can get myself and Michelle's email addresses on there, or the phone number for the office. Yes.
And we'll also share that on our socials as well.
Perfect.
So people,
thank you.
Anything you want to add, Michelle?
No, thank you. I'm looking forward to this.
You're looking forward to speaking to me, though.
No, I was nervous because it was my first time on the radio.
But we got through it.
Well, yes, thankfully we did get through it. We survived, thankfully. But I am looking forward to see what comes out of this project.
I think so. It's going to be... Actually, you two have a really quite exciting journey because you just don't know what contact you're going to get.
And what's coming, so I'm looking forward to that now, I'm not going to lie.
All right, Michelle Mungan, lovely having you in. Thank you so very much indeed. Michelle's community health worker with the Donegal Travellers Project, and Anna Scully, who has been in with us before, of course. She's a community development policy and communications worker with the Donegal Travellers Project. Check out the Donegal Travellers Project social medias. You'll get contacts for both Michelle and Anna there, and more blurb on what they're looking for over the next number of weeks. And of course, we'll link all that stuff to on our social media if you want to get the information that way. Thank you to everyone messaging and texting in so far this morning. We'll get to those as the morning wears on. But you might remember that we covered quite extensively in speaking to local reps, but also the developer behind a number of houses in Ballymacool. And there are people living in these houses. And you remember the conversation. I don't know if the background, so I'm kind of doing it off the top of my head. But you'll remember that there was ongoing negotiations between the company that decided to sell them, and there was a local person speaking to us on behalf of that company and the council, and they were trying to come up with some sort of an agreement where the houses could be built under, purchased under one scheme or other, and maybe keep the people that are in them in situ. So there was a great deal of uncertainty. I think this was actually in the run-up to Christmas. But it's emerged now that the council is deciding not to proceed with the purchase of 9 houses in Ballymacool. The 100% Redress Party's Councillor Thomas Devine is on the programme with me now. Right, OK, so when did you learn of this decision, Thomas, and your reaction to it?
Morning, Greg. Morning to the listeners, Greg. Yesterday afternoon, we received an email from Council Housing Department. They say that they were no longer actually in pursuit of buying these houses as time has lapsed and no consultation with the engineer from the property owners on behalf. So the council have now pulled out of the purchase of these houses. Now, it's sad, Greg, that there's possibly going to be 8 families when they met homeless, because there is no housing to relocate these families, and I would encourage the council and this property owner to get back when it's coming again and try and get something sorted here.
Last update we had was just before Christmas, and we chatted to Phil Boyle of the Twin Estates. He claimed that the council, there was a lack of communication from them. He said there was a lack of urgency from the council and communication regarding the potential sale of these homes. The tenant in situ scheme, I think, was being discussed at that time. The council then rejected that. They said, that's not true. We've been actively engaging in efforts to secure the homes since the Twin Estates Limited decided to sell the properties, and they've had ongoing contact at that time with the vendor, and they'd taken significant steps to progress the potential purchase of the properties. And then, of course, there was talk of defect concrete block testing, and there was some claim and counterclaim in relation to that. So, with all of that, do we know where we're at? The sale's fallen through. Is that it? The deal has been lost, Thomas?
Well, Greg, I hope it's not. I hope it can be re-arranged again, you know, re-negotiated or whatever has been on. I've seen both statements from the council and from the Twin Towns before Christmas, or way before Christmas, that two of them was blaming one another for lack of engagement, you know, which was very childish, you know, on both sides, to be honest, Greg. It should have been, because we're talking about families here, you know, children, that's, you know, homes that's going to be lost, you know, over a lack of engagement on probably on both sides between the council and 20 towns are full boy. You know, full boy was claiming that the council was negotiating with him, wasn't contacting him. The council was claiming full boy wasn't responding to him. There was claims for defective blocks testing and that, and the council was...
Well, that's critical to this, Thomas, because the council have a very important role in insulating the public to make sure money is spent correctly. Have you been able to ascertain, or will you ascertain, if proper defective concrete block test results were done by the vendor and furnished to the council? Because, you know, we can't be critical of the council if they didn't... receive, and in fact, actually, Phil Boyle's going to be joining me right now, so he'll have his view on that. But you know, they have to be assured that this is going to be money well spent.
That's correct. Craig, I think that's standard for all housing they've been bought now. Like, you know, and you can't blame the council for looking for this information. You know, because we're going to spend vast amounts of money. You know, but the situation is that these two people, these two firms or groups, is claiming that one's not speaking to the other, one's not giving the other information. And that's just we need to get down to the bottom. But the bottom of the line, Greg, is we have 8 families possibly that's going to be given notice to be moving out of their homes and moving to where, and there's nowhere for them to move to. So it's an urgency.
Well, that, I think they've already had their notice to vacate in March, so that unfortunately is a cloud already hanging over them. Councillor Thomas Sean Devine, thank you for that. You might want to stay tuned and listen to Phil Boyle, who's manager of Twin Estates, who are selling these properties. I suppose, really, Phil, I'm interested in your perspective here. There was claim and counterclaim in December between Twin Estates and the council about foot dragging and information and testing. Why did this deal fall through from your perspective?
Good morning, Greg. All I can really tell you is that I received the email yesterday to say that they weren't proceeding anymore. They have stated that there was some further information that wasn't clarified. All the appropriate tests were carried out, IS465 testing on like sulfites. I think that the council's standards are, you know, there's no grey area that it has to be. I think it's an issue with the overall standards in Ireland at the moment, that there's no leeway, there's no between a particular percentage and another particular percentage that one can do something else.
And that is why we need this review of IS465, which is ongoing. So if I can read between the lines...
Well, actually, Greg, that came out last week. The IS465, the new standards...
Yeah, but it's only... Yeah, exactly. But, Phil, my point... So can I ask directly of you, Phil, was something found in these results that would indicate there might be some of these materials in the blocks, and that's why the council pulled out? Is that your position? But you're
saying
no. What you talked about the grey area? Then could you make that clear as to what you believe then happened?
I have my engineer's reports that say that the houses are low to medium risk. There's very, very limited kind of capacity for an engineer to categorize when there's only 4 types of category. One is negligible, the next one is low to medium, the next one is medium, the other one's high. So, you know, the majority of houses come in at low to medium. I left it to my engineer to speak to the council engineers. All I have been advised by the council is that that clarity on certain matters wasn't addressed, and they didn't allow me to try to further clarify those matters. They just pretty much said, due to the long kind of drawn out, you know, process that's been ongoing now for 18-19 months, that they're no further, that they're not going to continue with the process further. So They've said that clarity wasn't, certain points weren't clarified by my engineer to their engineer. That's what they're claiming. My engineer's claiming that everything was given to them. And then they've pretty much stated that due to this, that they're no longer proceeding with the process.
Of course, too, there was a statement or report too that maybe only a couple of these houses would qualify for the residence in situ scheme, which presumably that wasn't factored into the decision as far as you can determine.
I know that speaking to, you know, certain executives in the council that that the rules just changed there last month, that there was tighter rules from central government on whether a person would be eligible for a tenant in situ house, and that they would have to be on a housing assistance program for more than 2 years. Seven of the nine tenants in this case are not on housing assistance for more than 2 years. Only two of them qualify in that case. Whereas, I don't know if that's the reason, I'm not sure. Other changes made by central government was the fact that they're only going to be looking at families from now on and people with certain disabilities, and that people on their own or couples on their own wouldn't qualify for the tenant in situ program. Again, nobody has really said that to me. I don't know what the I don't know if any of the central government's new rules in relation to acquisition of second-hand homes had anything to do with this decision. They've only pretty much said to me that certain issues weren't properly clarified.
And this is obviously in relation to the testing, which showed that they were at low to medium risk.
If you ask any engineer, I believe, Greg, that there is only four classifications. Mm-hmm. It's negligible, and then it's low to medium.
Okay.
So, and then it goes to medium, and then I believe it goes to high. So, right. My engineer would say to me that the vast majority of houses will always be classified as low to medium. But within then those classifications, within if you deep dive into the actual results, which we did, there must have been something in there that, you know, that wasn't clarified properly.
Well, listen, I mean, Phil, there are lots and lots of people in properties that require the same sort of clarification that you're seeking as well, and that's a real problem for the general movement of the property market in Donegal. We need that clarification as soon as possible. But this has been going on now for, 18 months?
November 2023, yeah.
So you have to move forward, I take it, because Twin Estates has been caught up in this.
What I've tried to do, Greg, is I've tried my very best to allow investors to come and view the properties, but some of the tenants wouldn't allow me access because they still believe that they're under this tenant in situ program and that they're going to get, you know, approved in this program. So I'm glad to have closure on it finally, so that I can move on now, and that the tenants actually realise that the council aren't coming to the table anymore, and that if there are investors out there, that I'll be able to maybe move the houses on to investors.
Now, have eviction notices been issued now, and how, at what date must the nine families or individuals or couples, I don't know the makeup of those in these properties.
Seven families.
Okay, when must they leave?
Well, the notices of eviction went out in March. Again, I didn't think we were getting any further, so I issued those notices of termination in March, expecting something like this to be coming down the line. Even if everything was absolutely spot on, for the council. The council told me in meetings that they can't guarantee that we'll buy the houses anyway because they're limited by a certain budget that they have from the central government. And this budget this year is 2 million.
Yeah.
They've also told me that some of that money is already spent on houses that they were committed to from last year. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what their final budget is. They did state in their email that there was one house that, you know, that they would be willing to look at. But again, that would require a final, you know, a final decision by them.
I don't want to be crass, but it seems that all those ships have sailed now. When must the residents of these homes be out?
Around the 20th of September, I believe.
And the houses now will progress to the open market? Or are you looking for an investor to come in and buy all the houses as a job lot?
No. The problem with selling houses is that the vast majority of people coming to buy a house want to buy the house with vacant possession.
Yeah, understood.
And they've every right. You know, there's young families out there and they're looking to buy a house. I've got some houses up in Ballymacool that there's only one person residing in the house. So when you talk about a person being made homeless, you can also think about the fact that, well, maybe that three-bedroom house that one person has to move out to will actually be able to accommodate a family of four.
Okay, no, but I don't think people would like to hear the housing situation, like, you know, one's out, four in. But anyway, that's your words, not mine. Do you believe you'll have issues selling these houses on the open market with the test results that you have, low to medium risk?
Absolutely, absolutely no way, yeah. The houses are perfectly fine. I've sold several already with similar results. The results are perfect, Greg. There's nothing wrong with the results.
As far as you're concerned, your dealings with Donegal County Council as it relates to these properties, that's concluded?
Well, that's what they've told me, yes.
Okay. But you have already issued eviction notices and now you're prepping these properties for sale on the open market. Okay.
On the open market.
All right, Phil, thank you for that. That's Phil Boyle, manager of the Twin Estates. We appreciate Phil speaking to us because, as you can imagine, I did suspect, although I didn't know, that there were some question marks over the testing. And then Caroline put Phil through. So to hear it directly from him, very important because it removes speculation. But that's their position. The council may have a different position. I'm sure we'll be inquiring for a statement in the not too distant future. In fact, that's already happened. But for the families that are in there, they're obviously they've been facing eviction in one form or other for quite some time now. But trying to find somewhere else to live, it's going to be very difficult for them, and they're going to be stressed, no doubt. Mairead Boyle is enterprise teacher and TY coordinator in Loreto Secondary School in Letterkenny. Hi, Mairead.
Hi, Greg. How are you doing?
Great.
Today?
Thank you so much for joining us. Deborah Diaz is a transition year student and student enterprise finalist. Hiya, Deborah. Good to have you with us. And Darcy Boyle is also a TY student and Student Prize Enterprise finalist. How are you getting on?
Good, how are you?
Good to have you with us. Okay, and two of the students that we've just mentioned have been selected to represent Donegal in the upcoming Student Enterprise Competition National Final in May. There are only three students representing Donegal. The other student in the junior category is in St. Columba's College. Mairead, brilliant achievement, to be two of three. And I think with a real great shout. We're going to be talking about their project shortly, but obviously very proud of what they've managed to achieve.
Yeah, we're absolutely thrilled to have two students representing Donegal in the national finals from Loreto Letterkenny. It's fantastic. I suppose the girls, their products are fantastic, and the amount of work and dedication they've put into the products, you can see from today, they've done really, really well. So we're so proud of what they've achieved.
Yeah, Deborah, this is next level stuff, really, the stuff that you've produced here, including my hat. Let me put my hat on here because it's tailor-made for me. One second here now. Look at that. Hudson's written on it. Who made this? Talk to me about the hats.
So I make the hats myself at home. I get them from a manufacturer and then I put them in
Does it suit me?
Yeah.
Go on.
And then I put them in my embroidery machine and I type in the design or style I want, whatever the customer wants, and then I just take it off the machine and ship it off to the customers.
And how long have you been doing this?
I started in October and then we properly started the business in November by opening it at our Christmas trade fair at school, which I made most of my sales at then. And then we continued going on and we're still continuing selling. Yeah. And most of it is on social media, which my granda helped with a lot on his Facebook account. And yeah.
What you need to do is get red, right, and then put in white, make America great again, print 1,000 of them and stick them on the internet. You will be sold out in no time whatsoever. Brilliant. And what's the name of your company?
Birdie by Day.
Birdie by Day.
Yeah.
And where did that name come from?
It came from my granny because she's really, like, helped me through it and I always wanted to name it after her. And then also for, like, spiritual reasons, as in there's always somebody looking over you. And then my family are big into golf and they were like, oh my God, Birdie, because it's a golf term.
So the planets align to make it all make yeah. sense. And it's lovely that your grandparents have had such an influence
yeah,
on you.
Yeah, they've really helped throughout
which
it.
Which is lovely as well. And I'm sure they're incredibly proud as well
yeah,
because
they, really
they can assist you, but you have to have the drive and
yeah.
and be the person to get it on. So that's Deborah, isn't it? No, that's Darcy.
Yeah.
Deborah, talk to me about your enterprise.
My company specializes in different personalized gifts, including 3D printed lamps, engraved keychains, and wooden engravings.
Is that a clock that you've made here?
Oh, yeah.
Right, can you bring that over to me here? So, because this is actually, as I say, this could go into it could go into any of those. You know those stores? You know the gift stores?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? It could fit straight into any of those. So we'll get pictures of this stuff, but for people seeing it, it's absolutely lovely. Brilliant. So did you have to design that as well?
Yeah, I get an idea and then I think, okay, how can I use all my tools and all yeah. my resources to bring it to life, to make it into a product? So all my products are designed by me.
I mean, that really is very high level. So, I mean, you can't mass produce this.
No.
This is going to take quite
yeah.
a lot of...
The thing is, the clock, I'm just starting developing them, and
so
I want
to... So this is a prototype?
That's a prototype
okay.
I made.
Don't let wings fall off, or I don't want to take the blame, although it's quite sturdy. Because yeah, go ahead, yeah.
I'm always trying to look for ways to evolve my company, to add new stock.
Sis, help me! Thank you, I've got it. Keep talking. Deborah, you have to talk and look at me at the same time. Go ahead.
So right now I'm selling the lamps,
look at
you
this.
Can see, and the yeah. personalized keychains as well, some wooden engravings as well, in my website. The thing about my website is that it has an ERP system, so all the stock control, customer service, the invoices, and just everything goes through
look
there.
Look at that clever heart. Look, you can split it between... Aoife and Liam, or whomever it might be. Really lovely. It's real stuff with the difference. There's a lot of thought of has gone into
yeah.
Into it.
Everything like takes a long time to design and make sure it works perfectly.
And what is this?
Oh, that's a 3D printed lamp. So when you turn it on, well, customers send me their pictures and
yeah.
then I make them turn them into a lamp.
Will it explode if I plug it in?
No, of course not.
I'm
no.
joking. yeah.
So I have different models of the lamp and sometimes I make limited time editions.
They are beautiful. Wow.
Models.
But again, you have... did you design the... I mean, obviously you have to tell the 3D printer what to print. So you've got that on... You could print 100 of those if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I have to do is I take the pictures from the customer and then using a program...
Oh, well, can I plug it in?
I layer the pictures.
Never keep talking. Stop being distracted.
So the darker colors are thicker and the lighter colors are thinner. So when the light passes through, that's dimmable actually if you turn the wheel.
I'm just wondering, looking at that, Greg, do you recognise anywhere in that picture?
That's when...
Would you stop putting me under pressure? Sorry, I'll speak into the microphone. That is absolutely remarkable. I've never seen anything like that before. It's not being picked up on the camera. But that could be family or anything.
Yeah, it could be any picture. You want, so it's something that's really unique and that's functional as well because it's lamp.
Where is that?
Come on, Greg, you're there every evening.
It's not Downing's, is it? Okay, yeah. It's just they're from different angles, yes. You see. Beautiful. Excellent. Right, keep talking, Deborah. I'm really impressed by that. That's absolutely cool. So that can be tailored. That can be tailored for anyone.
I also have limited time edition lamps. I make these are smaller lamps. Like for example, this one is one I made for Mother's Day.
But anything could be written onto that.
Anything.
So people go onto your website, right? And they can personalize it there. Is that how it works, or do they have to contact you?
So when they buy the lamp, they're able to upload the pictures, and then I receive them, and from there I just have to put it into the software, make the 3D model printed, and then after the lamp is done, I have to measure the print, because every one of them is different, and I make the wooden frame just tailored to that specific lamp.
What is the white material there? Because it has a nice sort of waxy sort of look to it, if that makes sense, and I think that's really attractive. Is it plastic?
The material is a special biodegradable plastic made out of sugarcane. It's called PLA.
Right, because it has just a unique, it takes the imagery, it takes the print of what you're printing on it very, very well. It looks very natural and almost...
It also makes a contrast with the wood and frames, so it looks good.
Yeah. All right, very good. And the materials that you're working with, right, wood and biodegradable plastic. I was doing other stuff while you were speaking. You probably referenced that. Is that an important element of this for you, that it's sort of sustainable?
Yeah, I'm very committed to including sustainability in my products, so that's why I always try to make the products as efficient as I can, as well as reducing waste.
All right, okay. So that's Deborah's customized gifts. It does exactly what it says in the tin, where Deborah, you've been hearing, has created wooden engravings, keychains, litho lamps, personalized lamps, and that feature 3D printed images when lit. But you kind of would need to see it to understand what's going on there. How excited are you? How long have you been working on this, by the way? Sorry.
So I spent a couple of months trying to develop the prototype of the lamps, and then just from there, just trying to make it, the manufacturing more efficient than that. But I didn't really start selling them up until the Christmas trade at my school, where I sold many different personalized products, and that's how my company.
Are you
really
getting online orders yet?
Yeah,
because it's not a question of whether people want them; it's actually just people knowing they're available.
Anyone can buy from my website, devra.ie.
Say that one more time.
Deborah.ie.
Deborah.ie. All right, simple as that. Okay, very exciting. Both of you have kind of already won. I know you're going on to sort of represent yourselves and your school and your families, but I mean, you've already won here. You've achieved something that's absolutely fantastic. So is it all hats for you at the moment, Darcy?
Well, we wanted to start off with hoodies, but it was just so expensive with not... Like, we didn't know if there was
because of the raw material, isn't it?
Yeah, and you didn't know the demand, so we thought we'd start with hats, and they really did. Like, everyone was like... Because everyone wears a hat, especially here in Donegal.
Can I see that one? Because it's slightly more intricate engraving on this one.
Because we used to just say birdie on it, but then we decided for the national final we'd switch it up and add a design. Yeah. And then that one's our school colour, so a lot of the girls...
So you can really personalise it. Mine's lovely, right? But it's like, it's Hudson, and it's in lovely... But, I mean, you can really personalise these... So if someone sends you a logo or something, you can...
Yeah, you can do most logos. It just depends.
There's something also that where it doesn't feel mass-produced, although you sort of can produce them at scale, right?
Yeah.
It does feel a little bit more...
Yeah,
I don't know, it feels a bit more personal.
So I put each one into the machine myself, and then I do, tailor it, and if there's any problems, I do it all myself. So there's not like a big machine. The machine does a lot of it, but then I do help the machine.
And has this process sort of given you the interest in the business side of things,
so
Darcy?
So I've always had an interest in the business, like coming from my granny and granda. They've all, like, they've ran businesses, and I always wanted to get involved in businesses. So I thought, because I'm only a second year, that I would try and then, because I heard about this enterprise competition. So I asked my teacher, Miss McGowan, if she would allow me into it, and she said I could try, and then I've done most of the work.
Well done. And you've kind of got a market there, because hats can be incredibly expensive, right? But you've got a market there where you can actually say something is handcrafted.
Yeah.
I think you can say that, right? But also, too, you can go in at a price point where you see there's not much product available for that?
Yeah, there's not much product, as mine's are only €10. And a lot at Christmas time, we had so many gifts for like Best Granda and Best Granny. They were our biggest sellers at Christmas. And yeah, just tons of gifts.
Yeah, or you could have, you know, Granny Bridget's the best. Yeah. It could be anything. So it's really literally anything. Unique. Yeah. To someone. That's brilliant. Okay. And you look, how in terms of the competition, Darcy, do you have to represent, how does that work? Do you have to go and, is it like a pitch that you have to give? Or?
So I won the intermediate.
Have you already won this stuff? Is the competition already happened?
No, sorry. The competition's taking place on the 9th of May, the national finals, but these two girls have won the county.
To represent the three. Brilliant. Okay. So, thank you for that, yeah. Marie. Go ahead, Darcy.
So then you now will go to the in Mullingar. And you will represent Donegal, so you'll have like a stall and then you send in a business report and the judges will come around and they'll ask you questions about your business and just...
You see, because that's what I was asking. Darcy, you're part of the product here.
Yeah.
And the same with you, Deborah. You know what I mean? I mean, both of you are going to have amazing displays, but it's about... And both of you, you can tell from the passion and commitment that you can articulate your businesses really, really well. That's part of it too, Deborah. In the modern day, you have to be able to flog your stuff.
Yeah, and also the support I got from the school really made a difference with the competitions, because, for example, everyone is always there willing to help, even if it's with sales or if I have a problem with anything. So that really made a difference, and I'm just glad I'm able to represent the school at the upcoming competition.
Yeah, and yourself and your family and all of us, actually. You represent the county, so don't mess it up. Yeah. What are you joking? Mairead, you know, Deborah quite rightly, and it's lovely the respect she shows in thanking the school for the support and what have you, right? But it takes brilliant young people to be able to work with to achieve what they're achieving as well. Do you know what I mean? So they have to be amazing as well as the support they're getting from Loretta.
Yeah, I totally agree, Greg. They're very fortunate they start off doing a Christmas trade fair, and that kind of gives them the spirit of enterprise, and that's where these girls have taken off. So I think sometimes if you just give the students the opportunities, they excel themselves. We are very fortunate. I suppose I'm only talking as Deborah's teacher. Deborah is an extremely intelligent girl and has a lot of resources, but it's not that. It's the hard work and dedication, and it's like for anybody in business, they need to work and they need to believe in themselves, and these girls have gone above and beyond. It's not just an exercise in the class. These are emails day and night in trying to improve and perfection, and I think they're driven, and that's really, really what is important for anyone listening that wants to be in business. They've got to work really hard at themselves. We can help them and mentor, but it's really on the students, and I feel probably working in Loretto for over 20 years, I'm so privileged to work with students.
Because you see them coming through, don't they? And what you've probably seen, as I've seen, because I've done these types of interviews in the past, though these are some of the most impressive, is that you bump into the people when they're 23, 24, and they're still going.
Yeah.
They're still the business has been enhanced. It's either a side hustle with study or whatever, or it's their actual job. You know what I mean? These are skills and products, actually, in both cases, that they can make money out as they get older.
And I think just even that you mentioned that this morning, I got a message from a student that was working on, that got through to the national final 7 years ago, to wish these girls good luck. So it instills with them to give them this skill and to get this experience, but it's also they go on to do great things. And I think as a teacher, we're very fortunate to see that.
Well, Deborah, you have a business here already, okay? What do you hope to do? I mean, obviously you're studying, but is there going to be now more of a business focus in your studies? Do you see yourself as a self-employed person going forward?
So I'm still not quite sure what I want to do in the future, but I know that I want to have maybe even just for side money or just career. I want to have this part of the enterprise. But also, even if I decide not to pursue business in the future, I feel like participating in this program, having all the opportunities that being TY has given me, will really help me in my future career.
Yeah, and I suppose, Darcy, from your perspective, I mean, obviously, I think you come from an industrious family anyway, right? So your path's already been laid out for you.
Yeah.
So I don't even know of a need to ask you. You'll keep this going, and I presume... You know, with the support of your family, there's loads of other stuff you'll want to do as you get older.
Yes.
Whilst enjoying your teens.
Yeah, so I definitely want to keep the Birdie brand, and I always wanted to invest into swimwear, but at the moment it's such an expensive market, so I hope whenever I make it a trusted brand, I can invest into the swimwear and just make it a big global brand.
And it really is quite a distinctive brand. You have a brand, if you know what I mean, so who's to say what might be made under that in the future. Okay, Mairead, anything you want to add just before we let yous go?
I don't think there's anything else to add. I suppose I would love people listening at home, if they wouldn't mind maybe going on, if they're on social media, on Facebook or Instagram, and give the girls a wee like or share. I suppose that's very important to show the amount of followers they have. So it's Birdie by D and Deborah's Customised Gifts. I think that would be great behind them. It would be lovely.
It's about that's really about marketing, right? This is a huge marketing thing, what you're doing here, right? So that's going to be helpful, I hope. But also, the more people listening interact with the products online, it means that you're pushing them out that way. So I'm going to ask the girls to do it themselves. Darcy, where do people get more information about Birdie?
Most of it is on Instagram at Birdie by D. And then also my granddad promotes it on Facebook at Patty Bradley. I don't know the other part. And then they're on TikTok at Birdie by D as well.
It's like Facebook, it's like, I don't know what that is. It's where old people go. But it's a fantastic place for you to promote your product. All right, Paddy Bradley, search them out there. And just remind us one more time, yours is really easy, isn't it? It's deborah.ie.
Yeah. So anyone will be able to contact me through my website and also on social media, Deborah's Customised Gifts on Facebook, Instagram and TikTok.
All right, anything else? Go on, Mairead.
I think Darcy just wanted to say something there.
Yeah, but you haven't told her what she needs to remember.
No,
Shall I cut the mics one second?
She wanted to say shout out to somebody.
Okay, I cut the mics here just so we could do that. So, did you want to say anything finally, Darcy, before we go?
I just wanted to say thank you to my granny and granda in Downings and my granny and granda over in Aramore and my teachers, Lisa McGowan, for all their help that they have done.
And where are you living?
I live in Letterkenny, but I go...
Wowzers. So, I mean, can you imagine living in Letterkenny with holiday homes in Downings and Aramore?
Yeah.
Talk about landing on your feet. All right, then. So, thank you all very much indeed. Deborah, you're Letterkenny-based as well, are you?
Yeah, I live in Letterkenny, yeah.
That's good stuff. And where are you originally from?
I'm from Spain.
Are you really? And how long have you been living here?
So, this would be my third year here.
And enjoying it?
I am enjoying it a lot, yeah.
Very good. It's different climate and stuff, but still...
Yeah, but a lot of commonality. In education, it's really big because you get to do more real world stuff. You have much more opportunities to apply to the real world.
Like create a business.
Yeah.
For starters. All right. Listen, all three of you, thank you very much indeed. That was Mairead Boyle, who is Deborah's enterprise teacher and TY coordinator in Loretto Secondary School, Letterkenny. Deborah Diaz, transition year student and student enterprise finalist. Darcy, you are in transition year or just part of
it? No, I'm in second year.
I was thinking, So you're not a transition year, you've just gate crashed the party.
Yeah.
All right, good stuff. Well done. Lots of love to all your families as well. Thank you so very much, all of you, for coming in. I really do appreciate it. Mairead, nothing to add?
Nope, that's me. I'm quiet.
Okay, thanks very much indeed. Okay, Mairead, Deborah, and Darcy and Gwat, check the girls. Socials as well, because part of what they do is also to promote and engage and stuff, and you can help in that regard as well. Just a couple of comments as we have to say goodbye very shortly. To the lady on about her PPS card, go up to the social welfare office on High Road and go into the room on your right. They take your photo and you have your card in roughly a week. Thank you very much indeed. The building opposite the credit union will help that lady with the PPS card. Another, I don't like that you can't hear electric cars, and often they're upon you before you know it. I think just with modern cars too, even with modern petrol cars, it's really road noise that you're hearing. I'm not sure that's quite as big a thing as it used to be, and a lot of them whistle when they're going at a certain speed. But I take your point, and that's your view, and I respect it. Quiltshire were able to sort out the trees that fell in Knockaria, Sligo, Queen Maeve's grave. Quiltshire are slower to clear trees in Donegal at Merva and Caravaddy. I hope they clear them soon because the bluebells won't see the light of day in May. Thank you for that. Greg, red line down means investor flight. Investor flight means loss of investment. Loss of investments means recession. Recession means loss of jobs. Loss of jobs means everyone gets poorer. Stock markets affect everyone, even if it's not directly visible to you. It's economics 101 under our current system. I get the point that you're trying to make. Or not trying to make. You've made it very good. All rightio, that's where we have to leave it on the 9 till noon show today. Thank you so much to all of you who listened to the show or watched the show, text in, called in. It's been wonderful having you. We are going to chat to you again tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock.